And welcome everybody to episode 17 of Conversations with Kregel. I am your host, Jonathan Kregel. I want to take a moment to thank you, the listener, for listening, liking, subscribing, and sharing this podcast, this small little podcast that I believe can, and you've shared it with people. And to me, the number of followers is only important in as much as it gets these stories of these great people who I sit down with out for you to listen to enjoy, to learn from. Today, I have a great special guest who I've been trying to get on the podcast for quite a while. Scheduling, competitions, and so forth have made it a little difficult, but I'm really pleased that we were able to spend 2 hours of quality conversation about a week and a half ago. And so I'll talk a little bit about that. If you could take a moment, like, subscribe to my channel. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, pretty much any platform that you could listen to podcasts or follow podcasts. I have this podcast on there. I'm also on YouTube. You can look for Conversations with Kregel or Converse with Kregel. And you'll find YouTube episodes also. Really, again, thank you so much. The more that I can get subscribers and likes, the more I can get this out to more people. And my real goal is to just share these wonderful stories, especially stories like today. My guest is Mitch Stevenson. He is a CrossFit coach, CrossFit athlete, been to the CrossFit Games on a team and as an individual. He coaches young athletes. He's a all-around worker, great young man. I'll talk more about that in the actual episode, but I think you're really going to enjoy this. So I actually had our conversation cut into two different parts. This part one is about an hour long, a little over an hour, and we talk about why he didn't do the CrossFit Open for the first time in pretty much his CrossFit career. What kind of led to that. We'll talk about him coaching a young athlete and young athletes and how that was as far as coaching for competition. We'll also talk about his adventure he'll be doing with his father-in-law, Eric Beamer, up into Bristol Bay, Alaska, and what kind of opportunities are afforded for him doing that. So without further ado, here is my first part interview with Mitch Stevenson. Enjoy, everybody, and I'll talk to you on the other side. And welcome, everyone. It's another episode. I've forgotten what episode number this is, but you can figure it out based on whatever I toast it as. It's Conversations with Kregel. We're here with a special guest. I've been trying for, seems like years of his life, to get him on my podcast, to talk, to chat. Finally pinned him down. I guess Coffee by Kregel works, maybe. I don't know. CrossFit athlete, CrossFit coach, all-around construction man, soccer player, college athlete, and an all-around great man who I've watched from a very young age grow up with Mitch Stevenson. Welcome, Mitch.
Hey, thanks, Kregel, for having me. It's an honor to be on here. Finally, like you said, it's been a long time coming.
Long journey. So, as we talked before, we're going to jump right in. There's lots to talk about. I mean, I realized I've known you... What are you, 32?
I'm 31.
31. Yeah. I've known you since probably 8 or 9 years old.
Yep.
Long time. Playing soccer with your cousins. My boys played soccer with you in the backyard growing up. Faced you a couple times and then some epic games and some hurt feelings and lots of memories. So.
All this stuff as it should go, right?
Exactly. And here we are, adults and sitting across. Exactly. Well, you're probably more adult than me.
But, I don't know about that.
So a lot of people who are listening know of you. We're going to jump right in, I think. Normally, I start with who you are, background, and that. This year, being a CrossFit athlete, you've done CrossFit since when?
2014 was my first Open. So I started, a few months before that.
And did you qualify for, like, they had regionals at that point?
I did not qualify. I just started. So
and you were living where? Were you?
I was in Oregon at the time.
Okay.
Living in Newburgh, Oregon. I went to George Fox University down there.
Okay.
Came home one summer and worked all summer for a roofing company, and had a friend tell me about CrossFit. So my first CrossFit workout was actually back here,
okay,
home at a gym my friend went to in Ferndale. It's no longer there, but
yeah.
So my first workout.
Do you remember what it was? Who was it?
Oh, yeah, the workout.
No, what gym was it?
I think it was Upper Left.
Okay.
Or something.
Sure, sure.
Something
yeah, like I think that I recognize. Okay.
Yeah, anyways, a friend of mine went there, and he told me to come along, so I went along. And then the rest kind of is history.
Do you remember your first workout?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you couldn't forget it. It was 100 thrusters for time.
Beautiful. Yeah.
First ever. I didn't even know what this was. I remember we walked in, and we had a skill piece.
Right.
And the skill piece was kipping handstand push-ups. And so the coach was showing us, you know, how to kip and how to approach and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, those are fun.
Could you do
interesting.
Them?
Interesting.
Could you do
yeah.
them?
Yeah. I mean,
because you were athletic.
Yeah. And I, like, summers before, I was determined to do handstands, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I was always kind of inclined to that style of, like, overall fitness and not just being, you know, really good at one thing. Mm-hmm. I was a soccer player who liked to lift.
Right.
So
right.
None of the other soccer players lifted, but
right.
because they didn't, for whatever reason, find it
right
enjoyable, maybe, or like it'd be an advantage to their sport. But I found it to be both.
I do recall, again, go throw back to you growing up with the kids and the Swansons. Shout out Ken, Susan, and the family. Doing backflips in the backyard.
Oh yeah, doing
front flips, yeah. All sorts of what boys would be boys kind yeah. of things, and so I trying to do handstand walk. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and so I recall that even yeah. before you guys headed off to college. Yeah. So 100 thrusters, what a opener to!
Yeah,
I mean, I thought my opener. I've already shared the previous podcast. So if you don't know what my opening workout was, go listen to that. I'm not going to talk about it here. it was memorable, but it's very funny because it's nothing like 100 thrusters. So
what a baptism! Each one is memorable, especially if you haven't done it.
What a baptism of right.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 burpees sounds much better now than 100 thrusters. Yeah. Do you remember how long it took you to finish?
I remember it was 9 something.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, I didn't know about scaling. No one told me anything about that. If I had someone just coming in, even if they were fit, like I was pretty fit,
yeah,
I would tell them to scale, you know, just to get used to the movement.
And was it at 95?
But yeah, it was right at 95 oh. pounds. The only
wow.
the only advice I really got was like they said, try not to do, like you're trying to do 100 as fast as you can, so try not to do like 35 right out of the gate,
right.
And so that made sense to me. And yeah. pacing has always kind of been something I'm good at naturally. So
right.
so I tried to pace it and. And I remember finishing and being like, oh, like I'm not last. Like, this is cool. Like, I did pretty good.
Yeah.
And I just kind of was way out of breath and sat down. And then they're like, hey, take a cool down lap once everyone finished. And I tried to stand up.
Yeah.
But I couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My
yeah.
legs just
yeah.
seized.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
so.
Have you ever done, I mean, I'm wondering, have you done 100 thrusters again as a check back to see what you would do it?
I know I've done it in the garage with dumbbells.
Yeah.
And I don't remember my time. I don't remember that one.
It'd be a fun someday, a fun throwback. I do revisit about the anniversary. So I started, I think Ken, Matt and I figured I was probably member under 10 at the gym.
Yeah.
And
so going back to throwbacks, you're talking about me growing up.
Yeah.
I remember being with your kids.
Yeah.
And my cousins and them saying like, your kids being like, my dad's getting jacked. He's doing this new thing called
yeah,
CrossFit.
Yeah.
And he's getting jacked. Yeah. And everyone's talking about you doing this new thing. So
yeah. And
that was early on.
It's so funny because I still have the original picture of my first week wearing my blue shorts and blue shirt and New Balance runners trying to do thrusters and making him look really hard at 45 pounds.
For sure.
We got all this energy, but yeah, it's really funny because, I mean, certainly save. And again, I'm going to just shout back to, if you want to know my story, you know, Matt and Kaylee, you know, certainly at the gym, saved my life. Mm-hmm. One of the important people, where I was physically and where I am today is, you know, longevity, life, good heart, good,
yeah.
you know, and you don't know what the rest of your life will look like, but you have the power to affect that physical part. It's going to mm-hmm. give you the opportunity for a long life. So for me, you know, I'll still get the comment, you're like a Jack Grandpa. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm more about is my heart and my life good? But
yeah.
So you did the open. So you've done the open since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, 10, this is your 11th. You didn't do the open this year though.
Yeah, I can't remember. I got the email saying like, get your 11th back.
Yeah.
Whatever. I can't remember.
Which kind of segues, you know, usually we go into background in that, but you didn't do the open this year for the first time. And it wasn't you didn't want to. There's some going on. Some people know, some people don't. Probably a lot of the CrossFit world has no clue that this guy who's been a open quarterfinal semifinalist for quite a few years isn't even in the game this year. So
yeah,
what happened? What's going on?
Yeah, well, I got sick over Christmas. I don't know what exactly it was. Just felt like a cold or the flu or something. So that was kind of the beginning of things. And what happened from there was I just like spent a month trying to recover. So I was sick. So, you know, did what I thought was wise and laid low for maybe 3 days, took 3 days off of training. And at that point in the season, Matt and Kaylee were programming for me. And we'd really, really been intentional with things during the off season, because I have, you know, I feel like I can really hang with anyone on certain things. And then there's certain things that I'm just like, I have some holes.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to fill those holes up. And especially if I'm going to compete, like, you're trying to be as well-rounded as you can. If you have one hole, it's going to reveal itself at some point.
Yeah.
So the last few competitions that I've done, my holes have revealed themselves. And so it's like, okay, you got really zero in and focus.
And for example, do you mind sharing?
Yeah, so like semifinals last year, 2023, I missed out by one spot. It was my third time missing out by one, missing out to the games by one spot.
Yeah.
Then that's just this painful experience, no matter where you're at in your career. It sucks.
Sure.
And I had gotten sick during that week during competition. So that is what it is. You got to roll with it and make the most of it. And I feel like I did the best that I could with my health, but I also like the overhead squat workout, the chipper with the pirouettes, the rope climbs, that wall facing handstand pushups. And it started with overhead squat and finished with overhead squats. Like my shoulders were failing me. The stability wasn't there to finish the bar. I had like one more rep for probably like, I would have to go back and watch, but it felt like 3 minutes. It was probably more like half that time trying to get that
final. And you're rep. Talking, you're going at semis.
At semis.
I remember. Yeah, actually I remember. And it was probably close to 2 minutes on the
bar. Yeah. And like you watch that happen to people and you're like, that's a mistake. You cannot allow that to happen.
Yeah.
You have to pace yourself and know yourself well enough to not allow that. And I feel like I'm usually good at that.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the overhead stuff has always just been difficult for me.
Hmm.
And the snatch earlier on, was it a bit earlier, with a one rep max snatch?
Was that the run snatch?
Yeah, it was two parts. Run? It started with it was a run, 800 meter run. And then you had a certain amount of time to establish a one rep max snatch after your run. And then you had like 2 minute rest or something. And then you had eight snatch at 185 and then 800 meter run.
Right.
So the second part went great.
Yeah.
The eight snatch and then the 800 meter run went really well. But the first part, like my snatch, I missed 270 multiple times.
Yeah.
And ended up with a really poor score. So those two things definitely.
Those are the areas, strength, overhead, positioning, et cetera.
Yeah,
working on them as best you can. And strength is one of those things that doesn't come overnight.
Oh, man.
It's a long journey.
Some people have it better. You know, some people are more naturally inclined to do that. Some people are more naturally inclined to
the gymnastic. Your engine is your strength. Has always been your strength.
Yeah.
The strength part wasn't necessarily something you lifted, but you were a soccer player. It's not like you were, doing football,
right?
You know, American football, where you lift really heavy shoulders, and you see that difference. Somebody who was a football player may not have that engine like you as a soccer player, vice versa. But so you're thinking about holes, and you'd gotten sick, and then took the time off, and then
I was saying, we were trying to be really intentional with training, And, you know, so with that in mind, you have to be intentional when something's not going well. So I was sick, and that was my mindset, was like, okay, we're focused. I have to focus right now on getting healthy. And so I did what I thought was wise and took through like 3 days off and then tried to get back into it. And felt good enough to feel like I could go back into it. But for the next month was just dragging and really struggling physically, which causes some mental struggle as well.
I'm sure. Was it energy? Was it breath? Like your breath or getting air?
So there are times I remember telling Matt, I'm like, man, I feel like I'm breathing through a straw.
Yeah.
Like I don't have a second gear. Like, I don't know. I feel off.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but feels like I'm breathing through a straw. And then.
Which is new.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a new experience
for sure. And I just kind of credited it to, you know, I was just sick. So it's going to take some time to come back from being laid up for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then it kind of evolved more into like, I was getting this pain kind of in my chest.
And you're pointing, for those that are watching, you're pointing right at your right near your heart, in essence. I mean, and it's subconscious probably, but you're pointing right where the
for sure. The I pain. Mean, yeah, it's, I mean, I can still feel it sometimes, but it was just this constricted feeling again, which made me feel like I couldn't breathe very well or get a good breath. And like when I get into something and try to push to that second gear, I just feel like my heart just couldn't like. Handle it.
Yeah.
And that's scary. You know, anytime you're dealing with your heart or your organs, even if it is all subconscious, it's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
How do you figure that out?
Yeah.
Anyway, so eventually, you know, Matt and Kaylee and I just were like, we need to try to take some time and understand what's going on because it feels different.
Yeah.
And I'm not recovering like normal.
Yeah.
So, jumped through some hoops. There was actually a Saturday where I just had a really bad day and a lot of discomfort, some kind of shocking sensations, which was kind of alarming. And I actually consulted with a nurse here and they were like, you should just go to the ER and just get it looked at. Because worse, I mean, if it was something that was alarming, like at least then you'd know. And so I went to the ER and they like rushed me in right away. And I have some family history. My grandpa I never met because he passed away at 48 of a heart attack and he was a healthy guy. So with all that, they rushed me in and like got everything done and everything kind of, all the tests they did kind of cleared out, but they referred me to a cardiologist and, you know, jumped through all those hoops and started working with this cardiologist who eventually diagnosed me with pericarditis.
Okay.
So.
And in big words, I have a brother who's a doctor. I already know what it is, but for those who...
you might know better than me, but from my understanding is like the pericardium, the sac around the heart, and it can get fluid in there, get inflamed, and then that can cause, when the heart beats, like some restriction there. So the heart can't really, if it's bad enough, can't really get like a full contraction.
Right. I mean, that's generally what I understand is the sac is almost like a protector. It doesn't really have to protect the heart, but when it's under duress, usually injury or illness, as you said, it's like something kicks in and it fills with fluid. And it's almost like a protection mechanism to protect the heart, but it actually defeats it because most people it protects because they don't do high stress, high oxygen-oriented function. So they may not notice it. But you, when you're trying to do fitness at a high level... It becomes the restrictor of what you should be able to do and had been. So, and that's a layman's way of saying that I understood it, but it makes sense though, because the good news is that you at least had an idea what it was. So when you heard it, what happened? The doctors then said, okay, you got the pericarditis and you're like, okay, what drug do I take to fix it? And how quickly can I get back into training?
Yeah, so that was the next thing. We figured that out, I guess, early February.
Okay. And you opened it to happen until March.
Yeah, no, that's wrong. My diagnosis, actually official diagnosis, we've been working through it because I had to do a stress test and a echocardiogram and all that stuff. And that was the month of February, getting through that. And then actually it was March 1st. When did the Open start? Because that was during the week of the Open.
Yeah, I think it was the last week, like the 26th. I don't remember the exact date. It was something like February 26th, I think, was the first workout, I believe.
Anyways.
But regardless, yeah.
Yeah, so I had an appointment on March 1st.
Okay.
During the Open announcement, I had an appointment. And that's when the doctor told me. She was like...
Yeah, so it would have actually been the 29th. Noon on the 29th, it was were the first announcement. March 1st would have been the next day.
Yeah.
So right about that
so
time.
So the workout was announced, and I was like, I don't know if I'm doing the Open or not.
Yeah.
And I'd have my appointment the next day, and I'm talking to the cardiologist, and she tells me, like, I was like, hey, I need to make a decision. Can you be clear with me what you think I should do? And she had a little bit of an understanding of what I was trying to do. And I was an athlete and I'm competing in fitness. And she said, if you were my brother or my husband, I wouldn't let you do it. Mm. And so I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's pretty clear. Like, that seemed very clear to me to not do it.
Yeah.
So I said bye to her, walked out. And by the time I reached my car, I was like, I can do it.
Yeah.
So that's just, and that was my experience that whole week was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Because my thought was like, well, I could probably, you know, you need to be top, 25%.
Yeah. I mean, you could walk into the gym with no sleep for 2 weeks, having not eaten.
I could have gotten
qualified top 25%.
I could have been chill because she said you need to keep exercising, but you need to adjust how you're approaching it.
I mean, the key, the key wasn't 25%. And frankly, I think you probably could have pushed to get to semis. The question is, at what cost?
Exactly. And that's what I was trying to figure out up until Monday.
And because if you go to the semis, are you in a position to make it to the games? Because if you're not, the ultimate goal isn't just to get to those things like it would be for someone like me.
Right.
There's an end game. And at what cost?
Even a step before that, Matt and Kaylee and I were talking about it. Like, okay, say you get through the Open. Like, what is that doing mentally to get through the Open knowing that you're trying to compete in quarterfinals, which isn't that far away?
Right.
And so let's say you do it and you're supposed to stay really casual with your exercise right now, as the doctor says, you know, like keep your heart rate in a zone 2 level. So can you do that, first of all? Do you have the relationship with exercise to be able to do that?
Yeah.
And that's tough. That's
well, and not just you, but the fact that many of us wouldn't know, be screaming at you to go.
Yeah.
And that dichotomy of, I want to go, but you don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? That dynamic of that.
Exactly. So then quarterfinals, you know, is pretty close. And it's like, well, you have to, they're taking top 40 to semis. The goal is to push for the games, not just make semifinals.
Right.
So, like, if your goal right now with your health is to, like, maybe be able to do quarterfinals and hopefully you feel good enough by then to do quarterfinals and randomly be able to, like, do well enough to get in the top 40, which is difficult.
Right.
Like, that's a hard thing to do.
Right.
So, if you haven't been really training and then you expect your heart just to be like, okay, we're ready now. Let's go.
Right.
And you're ready for, like...
Yeah.
So it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And ultimately, the right decision, I felt like, is not to do it because this is my heart, my lungs, we're talking about, like my organs.
You're 31 years old.
You've got
a long life beyond, and you have the immediacy of fitness, but you have the hopefully longevity of life.
Yeah. And you're, you know, that's a nice thing to say, but again, that's the truth. But it's a hard thing to live because we don't live in the future.
Right.
We live in the now.
Right.
And in the now, I get selfish.
Yeah.
In the now, I get, you know, like, I want something now. I want to do the games this year. I don't want to do it next year.
Right.
Like, that's a hard thing, you know, to see, to visualize. But if you can step away from the present sometimes and really evaluate the big picture, and run scenarios in your head so that you can really, you know, set yourself up for what you really actually want, which is to be able to, you know, be good when I'm 45
yeah.
and play with my kids, you know, or whatever that all looks like. Like, I want to be that.
Right.
I've always envisioned that. I don't envision I pushed through for 1 year,
right,
and now I have a chronic issue that I have right. to deal with. Like, that's not an option, really.
And the beauty also, and I realize I'm talking to an elite athlete, and to put the brakes on, like, your expectation in January and all this training since you missed out by a spot a year ago, and did demo team was another, great opportunity and mm-hmm. so forth. But that's not what you want to do. You want to be at the games. You want to compete yeah. at the highest level. So you've been purposeful with your training.
Mm-hmm.
You've been focused, and all of a sudden this immediate block, like something happens that just shuts it down. It's hard. It's like mm-hmm. inertia. You're like a ship. You don't turn that. And I understand that when another setback happens, it's like, again.
Yeah.
And I mean, just to you feedback, that was my first response was, I think he's had enough.
Mm.
I'm just even, my prayers to God was, God, I think he's had enough. But that's my selfish prayer, wanting you to be able to display your fitness mm-hmm. to the world. But again, God has a different purpose, a different yeah. plan, a different focus. We don't always want that. We don't see it. But you've had opportunities over and over and over to see differences, changes, mm-hmm. whatever. Selfishly, yeah, we want to be able to go to the games.
Yeah.
And I say we, you got an entire gym community and families and behind you. Mm-hmm. I actually wore my Stevenson shirt to the to the Saturday workout this morning. And it makes me tear up a little bit because I do know, I see yeah. the work you put in. I see the integrity you move with, the integrity that Matt and Kaylee hold you to that mm-hmm. standard. So you want to put that on display for the world mm-hmm. and yet another weight.
Yeah.
So you didn't do the Open. You made that decision. You didn't sign up for the Open. You still did all the Open workouts
yeah,
in class. And so you still are fitnessing. Was there ever a point you just decided, when you decided to shut it down, you were like, no, I'm just going to not walk away permanently, but I'm done with it for now?
Yeah, I think I had that feeling when I was just addressing all of that mm. before I really came to the decision of it.
Mm.
When I'm trying to, even in years past when I'm envisioning myself, I mentioned my relationship with exercise.
Mm.
My relationship with exercise has always been competitive. I've never exercised for health.
Yeah.
Like, I've over-exercised for competition.
Yeah.
That's been, I want to work, I want to, my first experience in the gym is like, oh, I play soccer and this could help me get faster, or this could help me with this or that. So it's never to me been like, I do this for stress relief or for just for health benefits, because the other things I do are pretty chill. Like, it's never been that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was thinking about, even in the past years, when I come to not competing anymore, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Am I going to just, like, part of me wants to just ride off into the sunset and exercise is done. But that's totally not how I'm wired.
Right.
Like, and I'm experiencing that now. But I've wrestled with that because my relationship with exercise has always been one way.
Yeah.
So in coming to the decision to no longer, or to not sign up for the Open this year, when it came to that decision, it was like, oh, I guess I don't know if I'm going to do the workouts, but I'm definitely going to still be involved in the gym.
Sure.
Like, there was no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I would feel about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I would be angry.
Yeah.
Like, or if I would, like, be jealous of everyone.
Yeah.
And I think completely because of the grace of God, like, I want everyone to win. Mm. I wanted just to cheer everyone on. And I wanted to do the workouts myself, not to see what I could do necessarily, but just to be part of what everyone else was doing. And so that just completely happened naturally. Mm. And again, like I said, in thinking about it in the past, I would have thought I would be bitter. I would be angry. I would be upset. I would not be able to come cheer people on during the open because I would be upset for myself not doing it. Mm. But that's not how I felt at all.
Right.
And that was not something I tried to, you know, curate or like make happen. To me, that's just because of the grace of God.
Yeah.
He gave me peace.
Yeah.
And he allowed me to experience the open this year in a different way, to do the workouts at like a zone 2 heart rate. What I've been trying to do is just nasal breathe through all my workouts. Yeah. That's been an interesting experience.
Huh.
That's adjusted my relationship with exercise.
Is that, so that's kind of how you've helped to nasal breathing allows you where you're, it allows you to keep your heart rate.
Yeah. Down. So I've done all the open workouts, and during the open, I was trying to just like go slow, you know? And I was like, I don't know how to give myself a governor because I'd get into it and then I'd feel my chest, you know, start to like feel constricted again and then worry me. And, you know, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This is confusing.
Yeah.
Like, well, I want to go, but I can't. And if I immediately feel something, so I have kind of a governor there, but I don't want to feel that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be pushing that far into that.
Yeah.
So I just, I did a partner workout one day and I was just playing with nasal breathing. And then I was like, oh, I could do all my workouts nasal breathing. It kind of naturally gives me a governor and slows me down a little bit. So that's what I've been doing since the open.
Yeah.
Then I've done the open, I've done the quarterfinals, I've done all the age group workouts.
Okay.
So all.
And I was looking at the time, just for those that, you know, even with nasal breathing, he's still a heavy hitter. I always look up there and I see, you know, RX or comp. And so even though, you know, for those that wonder if he is still fit going through his nose, yeah, watch out. Because now when he, God willing, is healthy, fully healthy, he will have the nasal and mouth breathing combination.
Yeah, so, I'm curious. I have no idea what that will do.
Yeah.
But in my heart, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be so fit.
Well, and what I also thought of, too, as you go through this, and you don't, we again, don't know, you don't have a determination. The prognosis is, at this point, so you got the determination, you didn't do the open. So are you in limbo of if you'll ever do the open, or is what, you know, sort of whatever you want to share, the plan for knowing or having an idea is, I mean, we're 3 months, 90 yeah. days from the time you maybe, you know, 3-4 months from finding out. It's not like it's instantaneously going to solve itself.
Right. And but, that's what the diagnosis really from her was like, you need to chill for a solid 3 months.
Hmm.
So that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah.
And she has me on a anti-inflammatory for 12 weeks.
Okay.
So I've been doing that and just trying, and she is the doctor.
Yeah.
Just told me like, let your body kind of guide you. And if you need to do any follow-ups, we'll do follow-ups and we'll see how it responds. And hopefully the sensations you're feeling can kind of go away.
Yeah.
So I haven't really tested anything. I mean, I'm still, like I said, I'm going at workouts and I'm still training, you know, like 2 hours a day, not 4 or 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
But I'm exercising, we'll say.
Yeah.
I'm not training right now. I'm exercising.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a lot of other things.
Sure.
So,
just giving your body a chance to catch up.
I'm trying to give it a chance for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I hope, you know, my prayer definitely is that I'll have a chance. I'll be able to compete next year. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
But also have a responsibility to be wise.
Yeah.
And to be responsible with
it. It also didn't, you know, not that it didn't happen overnight, but your body is your body, and you have it. I mean, the beauty part of competition for you also is the same, like you mentioned earlier, you could put yourself under duress now and it could cost you the rest of your life. The reality is competitive, and it, you know, your father-in-law just finished semifinals, you know, 65 plus. Shout out Eric Beamer. I know you're listening. And Khan, also to my listeners of the podcast. I mean, the competitive nature of it will be there if you choose to. Mm-hmm. It's not a case. I mean, we look at the elite level and you want to be able to do that, but the longevity of it, and like you mentioned, not just playing with your kids, but the competition side is getting mm-hmm. stronger and stronger. So the age group qualifiers, those are a lot of them former games athletes. Yeah. There's a lot of heavy hitter stuff, and there's a lot to look forward to. Because you're not focused on training as much, what are some of the things you're doing to fill in? And maybe this is a natural segue. We'll get to, you know, the CrossFit stuff, but you're not training as much. What have you added to your life that maybe hasn't, you know, reading, walking, working, what fills in some of that extra time or fulfills some of the need that yeah. fitness training would fill?
I've been doing a lot of work, physical labor, which I enjoy, creating things and building fences. And my wife and I have two horses, a couple cows, beef cows, out at.
Oh, don't forget it. Don't forget at least one cat.
Do we have a cat? That's at our house. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cat's
yeah.
not as much work.
I was going to say, shout out Benny, right?
For sure.
Can't forget Benny. But yeah, so you do a lot of the construction around.
Yeah, so I work on the farm. And my wife's sister they have 26 acres or so out in the county. And so I've been doing a lot of stuff out there. And I work for their neighbors as well, doing, you know, kind of whatever they need.
And your wife is?
Carrie.
And Carrie Beamer, not Stevenson yet.
Stevenson.
Got to get to get the name change, I think, when I chatted with her before, but whatever.
Yeah, that's
paperwork or whatever. But so, again, shout out Carrie, who qualified for quarters, just missed semis, and it wasn't like a focal point, but just kind of, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, we kind of met through CrossFit in a roundabout way, and I competed at the games in 2018 individually. She competed in 2019 individually, and then we took a team together from the gym here in 2021, and we got married that year also. And after that...
And by the way, finished 10th in the world that year.
Yeah, on the team.
Which was great.
Super fun.
Yeah.
After the team experience, we had some opportunities. She had some opportunities with some horses and some stuff like that, and she kind of shifted her focus a little bit. I wanted to continue to compete. So her focus has shifted when her sister and her husband got this property. Some doors opened up for us to kind of help take care of the property and put some animals out there. And so we ended up with two horses out there.
I'll tag Mitch's Instagram. I'll tag the Carrie and Mitchell Instagram. And if you love horses, you get plenty of Instagram reels.
Yeah. So two young horses that are young, and Carrie has just really loved. She grew up with a horse, and so that's just a place for her where she really can use some of her gifts that God's given her to nurture these amazing animals and create trust and a relationship with them. And it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So they're young horses, and she's working on training them.
Your dad and you have built winterized housing or winterized.
Yeah, so we've done tons of stuff out there.
A lot of projects. So that's filled some of that need of, you know, not just filling time, but using it productively.
Yeah, exactly.
Using it in a good way that benefits. So,
yeah.
And then just kind of, again, another segue, and we may come back a little bit about, you know, more about the injury and so forth. But for right now, you're not. So those who are wondering, the few people that are wondering why he's not at semis or competing for the games, now you know the rest of the story. Interestingly enough, kind of a thing that came out of you not being able to compete was being able to, again, be part of the community more. And you always, I will shout out briefly here. I've always promised not to be talking very much during my interviews, but shout out to Matt and Kaylee, Love Lady, and the entire I Love It community. The one thing that is separated that I see is you've got top level, you know, games level athletes who they do the class workouts. They're not training. They train separately on their own additionally, but they're not only coaching, but they're also involved. So you could be at a noon class and have, you know, Mitch, Carrie, age group qualifiers,
yep.
Age group quarterfinals, semifinals. And again, this isn't, we're not talking about a huge metropolis. Linden's 20 some thousand people. You know, it draws from a small kind of community mm-hmm. of people. You got Kaylee, who was a former regional athlete, and so forth. And yet there's not this elitist approach to the gym, that the athletes are as much a part of the community as the new person who's walked in, never being able to do a squat.
Right.
And that really separates out. And that really does come, and we've talked to them, and I'll have them on again. We have so much to talk about. But that really kind of is a focal point of how Matt opened the gym and how they run it. But the people that come here and get involved in it, that aspect of it. But beyond that, you had an opportunity to take some of your gifts as an athlete, as a high level athlete, and kind of turn it towards some of the other athletes in the gym. So talk a little bit about, I'll just say, Alina Blankers, mm-hmm. 14, 15 year old girl, always very fit. Started out very young in the CrossFit Kids Camp, mm-hmm. which, again, if you don't have your entry in, if you're in the local area of Linden, get it in. It fills up quick. That's coming up here. Shout out. But Alina, she took a real jump forward. How was your involvement with that, and kind of how did that grow organically or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, it's complete, to me, it's a complete gift from God, like just of his grace and the opportunities that come when you say no to something. When you say yes to something, there's always a no attached to it. When you say no to something, you know, there could be a yes attached to it if you're open. That was not something I like pursued. I just remember, you know, I'm still trying to be in the gym and be involved, and I have my stuff going on. But when I'm competing and when I'm training hard, I enjoy being in class, but a lot of the time I'm so like inwardly focused because I'm going through so much
yeah.
in training.
Sure.
Just
sure.
trying to survive and get better and trying to
sure.
do everything that I can to maximize my potential.
Be intentional with
yeah.
your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's a very selfish endeavor. And mm-hmm. some people may, again, have a different relationship or a different approach to it. For me, it can be very consuming,
mm.
which I can work on. Definitely. But when I said no to doing the open and was still involved and didn't just run away.
Yeah.
Like my heart just kind of opened up. My eyes kind of opened up to everything that was going on around me. And I remember one day in particular, we were doing a wall ball workout, and Jose, who's an athlete here,
yeah,
was doing wall balls right next to me, and I just thought to myself, I'm like, man, he's crushing it. I want him to go to quarterfinals and do super good and enjoy his experience and see what it's like. And I had my heart just like, I almost like got teary-eyed in the middle of the workout. And I was like, what is happening? It's like the Grinch, but he's like, my
yeah.
heart.
My heart's growing thousand
yeah.
times small.
yeah, funny. I just felt like that was like a gift from God to be like, yeah. hey, like, this is, I'm not allowing you to do this right now, but there's other things involved for you, and you have a lot of experience, and you have a lot of insight, and you have a lot of opportunity if you want it,
yeah.
and if you're open to it, and if you want to be used,
yeah.
and if you can say yes to that, like, there's some opportunity here. And so, like, immediately while I'm doing wall balls, I was like, we should run, like, a comp class for people who qualify for quarterfinals. You know? And so we did
some. When you're really fit, you can do those kind of thoughts. I can tell you.
Or you nasal breathing.
A normal athlete just trying to survive getting crushed by the wall balls, and you're over here with a meme. I could run a class while you're doing a wall ball. Yeah.
So, and okay. part of that was, yeah, like you mentioned, Alina. And Alina she qualified for age group quarterfinals last year
right.
at 14, and she did well. And she'd been working hard all year,
yeah.
and I'd been working hard all year. And now my year's different, and she has a goal in mind. She wants to continue to advance and move beyond what she did last year. And I know that, but now my year looks different.
Yeah.
And I was just started feeling like, wow, like she could really do it.
Yeah.
And I think I can help her with some things.
Mm.
Like, there's, if I watch people, I can see some things, you know,
yeah.
like oh, there's a lot of people that can do movement,
yeah,
and they can do it good, but they're not doing it great.
Right.
A good rep, you know, accomplishes the rep. A great rep accomplishes the rep and then sets you up for another rep right after it.
Right.
So, like, if you watch people, you can see a difference between people who are just good and accomplishing reps and people who are doing intentional reps to set themselves up for the next one. And so I could see some of that stuff in some of her movement, and she moves really well, but there are just some things with her muscle up and little things. And so I just kind of quietly started like, hey, do you want to do this with me? Hey, do you want to do this? Like, have you tried this and have you tried that? And, judging her on the open workouts and getting through that stage. And then we kind of made more of an official thing, like, hey, I want to spend some time working with you on these days and see what we can do in quarterfinals. And we'll start there. Yeah, so it was completely natural. It's completely organic, and it has been super fun. Like, again, I didn't know if I would be upset. Like, I didn't know if I would be, like, bitter towards all of that or what that would be like. And, again, I think just the grace of God has allowed me to be pumped about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on fire about it.
Yeah.
Well, and she, I just want her to do so well.
I mean, she, so, you know, and I will say she's quiet. She's gotten more outgoing in the last, some of that's just being young around a lot of, you know, when you're really good at fitness, you end up around a lot of older people, and it can be intimidating. But I think just her nature, what I've noticed is she's still quiet.
Yeah.
She, you know, and I told her she's going to be on the podcast. Got to get Greg and or Becca with her. And they're like, no. I said, no, you're going to do it. I'm not asking you. But it's funny because I think drawn out when you get into conversation, it reminds me a lot of you, because in the right environment, you're very engaging.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you were younger, you're your own person, kind of quiet.
Right.
And I think as time's going on and maturity or, you know, just in life, you become more outgoing and that. But you've got this little gal who's very fit, but left on her own, she would do really well, but would she go to that next level? And having somebody who, it's hard because as a competitive athlete, would you be able, you wouldn't have the focus.
Right.
You'd be working on yourself.
For sure.
And so now she's got this opportunity with her, a break for you, so to speak.
Yeah.
To take her to the next step. And then again, God willing, you're able to compete next year. She will have that year of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That when it comes time that you're back in the game, she's at the next step. And now as a more mature athlete and so forth. So, and you guys did a workout after the Saturday class. You did some work with her prepping. So this year she went quarterfinals, did really well in the open. I don't remember what she finished. Then finished
fourth in the quarterfinals.
And then unofficially waiting for video, but is currently sixth in the world in semis. The plan for her is to go to Michigan in August.
Yeah, end of August, last week.
Kalamazoo. And so what does that look like? And we'll get to this here in a second, because you got some things coming up here shortly that you're heading out on. Will her training continue? Are you helping program? Is Matt and Kaylee doing programming?
Yeah, so like, I have the same approach with her as I would myself. And it's interesting because we're naturally good at kind of the same kind of things.
Mm.
So the strength stuff we struggle with. Some of the, like, the gymnastics stuff we enjoy, the endurance stuff we're good at.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
we can suffer through the endurance stuff and we'll be fine. We're going to have fun with the gymnastics stuff because it's more enjoyable to us because it comes more naturally. And then the strength stuff, we're going to do our best. And so it's fun because I feel like I have a lot to offer because we're kind of naturally more inclined to the same kind of things. So with my approaches and with my approach with Matt and Kaylee, it was like, I want to do class. And you mentioned that earlier. Like, the reason most of us get into CrossFit is because, and stay with it and enjoy it, is because of the community. And that's what CrossFit in and of itself, the brand, really prides themselves on, is the affiliate and the community. And then what comes from that is a lot. And a lot of that is up to the affiliate and those, then how that's run. But the community is just, it's so fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're here suffering with people at the end, you get your name called. You know, you're called by name every single day when you come to the gym, and you're noticed. And you hopefully you get, if you have good coaches, you get some one-on-one attention with your movement and all that stuff. So if a class is run well, everyone can benefit from it.
Right.
No matter if you just start, like you said, and you haven't done squats in years, or if you're a games level athlete. If your programming isn't good enough or something's wrong with the way you run it,
right,
then people are going to be all over the place.
Right.
So we're going to be doing their own thing here and their own thing there, and then there's going to be some people here. So my thing is like, hey, we'll do class pretty much every day unless you have a rest day. That's your focus, and we'll break things off out of that and get some individualized time in based on what you need to work on. So the strength things,
right,
rowing, some of these other things.
Rowing, so, Alina. You hear that? Rowing.
It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of, yeah. And so that's what we do when we work together is I have, and the first thing, one of the first things I asked her was for her to write a list of things that she wants to get better at.
Yeah.
That if she sees, because I always think, if I see this in a competition, am I nervous about it? Okay. I want to build some confidence and some preparedness in that movement.
Yeah.
So I need more exposure to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, some of that comes with doing class because those will show up in class workouts. Some of it comes with more intentional time on your own.
Yeah.
Sometimes someone needs to make you do that.
So that's
my job.
Another just kind of thought I had that was just struck me with her watching some of the work, because of work and that, couldn't watch all, but she redid the semifinal first workout, which was the row snatch.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first came out, I remember asking her, walking by and saying, what do you think of the workouts? And she goes, they're okay. I said, what do you think of number one? And she goes, yeah, she didn't even say anything. She just had this look and walked away.
Yeah.
And the fact that she redid it, and I don't remember if she scored better or not, didn't matter, because this mental aspect of doing something you don't love, but pushing yourself. And a couple times, there were times where she looked like she was done. She was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't need to do this anymore. But she stuck with it. She fought through that mentally. Bodes well for her. Again, not just as an athlete, but just in life.
Right.
That when life throws at you hard, you keep going when you don't want to.
Right.
And that strikes me again. If you learn that at 14, 15, and can keep that mind,
you're ahead of the game.
You're ahead of all of us that had to learn it in their 30s, 40s. Some people never have learned it. So, and I think it bodes well that not we want disappointment, not we want struggle, but life is, you know, Lucas and I, Peterson, shout out again, if you haven't listened to that podcast episode, Lucas and I talked about this, that life is suffering. It is. We don't want it to be, but genuinely, it's a lot of great periods, but there's suffering and we act like we don't ever want it. That's just not life.
Right.
It's not how it is. But there's going to be a period here that you won't be around to push her. You're heading out another couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, I've tried to say yes to some things that normally I wouldn't be if I was competing. And one of those things is my father-in-law is a commercial fisherman up in Alaska. My grandpa, who I mentioned, who I had never met, had also done that. So that's always been something I've like thought about. And then turns out my wife's father like does that. And this is like his 40th year in a row. And he's like the master at it.
Yeah.
So I get to go up and learn from the best and experience that, which to me feels special because Eric's done it so long. And then because it was something my grandpa did.
And because of the no to the fitness, I mean, this wouldn't have been an opportunity. It wouldn't have been a focal point. Were you?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's right. Yeah. It's right after semifinals usually, you know, so where I leave on June 14th to go up there for like 6 weeks. So it's impossible for him to plan on me being there.
Right.
You know, whether I qualify for the games or not. If I qualify, I'm definitely not going.
Right.
If I didn't qualify, I would be open to going. But that's like,
right.
Oh, I'm free now. You know, I can go tomorrow and
would
you meet me there yesterday.
And would you be physically and maybe even mentally
ready to
do it? And so this is a case where another situation of no opens this opportunity.
Yeah.
This new thing that you, again, you share with Eric,
yeah,
can share with him, learn in. I mean, it's do you remember, I forgot already, not Crystal Bay, the
Bristol
Bay.
Bay.
Is it Crystal Bay?
Bristol.
Yeah, Bristol. That's why my brain. So you're going to be up, and I chatted with him a little bit. You will do fishing, and then you will get it. Basically, as I understand from him, the fish go to the greatest or deadliest catch boats, who then take it in, and
pretty much.
You guys will stay out pretty much. He would say, unless it's there's some weather related, you could be out potentially the whole time.
Yeah, on a boat.
On a boat.
On a little boat.
On a little boat.
Yeah, so that's it. I mean,
yeah.
Again, I'm going to have to address some things, you know, like my relationship with fitness. I've never done something like that.
Yeah.
And I feel excited. I love new experiences. One of my favorite things to do is to go somewhere, you know, 6 weeks is a long time, but like for a week.
Well, and in like Alaska,
really experience
in Alaska that time of year, Alaska this time of year is good.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm pumped. I'm really excited about it.
How's your grip strength?
I'm nervous a little bit about how I'll respond a little bit.
How's your grip strength?
hopefully it'll be fine.
No, it'll be great. You know, I think, again, the other part that's great is I've been around some commercial fishermen. Eric's very conscientious just in chatting with him and, you know, not putting his boat or his crew in any kind of duress or situation.
Right. Yeah.
So that's really great. Opportunity to kind of go outside of yourself.
Exactly.
And
yeah, and I like deprivation to a certain level, you know, so I'm excited to kind of be deprived of some of the normalcy of life and get in that uncomfortable space of like, oh, wow, I haven't stepped on solid ground in weeks. Like, what is that? I don't know what that's going to be like. I'm excited to experience it. Yeah. I don't know that I'll enjoy every aspect of it. I probably won't. And I'm fine. I feel fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to see how it is, how I respond to it.
I think there's a rhythm. I mean, I'm not a commercial fisherman, but having spent, you know, numerous cruises on Navy ships, you get into a rhythm.
Yeah, yeah.
You will find a rhythm that's going to work. You know, it may be days of, you know, again, chatting with Eric, you know, you're going to, some places go until they can't fish anymore. That's dangerous. But, you know, 4 hours of sleep, you'll feel refreshed and you'll get out there. But the flow of work is like doing a chipper workout. You just grind until it's time not to grind and then you sleep.
Yeah.
But it'll be a new experience that'll give you, again, maybe some more mental opportunities to look at this and go, I don't love this. Or I don't want to do this today, but you'll do it because it's in front of you. Or you may look at it and go, you know what, Carrie, we're selling the horses and we're going to buy a commercial fishing boat. Probably not happening. But sorry, Carrie. Okay. So are you doing, I guess a part of it is your relationship with fitness with the commercial fishing. Are you going to start, you and Eric, like fish fit or, a fishing fit or something to the effect. How do you prepare for this experience?
I don't know. I think.
I mean, has Eric had any kind of thoughts for you, or is it just kind of just show up and we'll figure it out? Or have you asked him?
I should ask him.
Eric, you're listening to this. Mitch needs a little bit of guidance, like Alina needed maybe with CrossFit. So if you're hearing this, ask him.
Yeah, I think, I enjoy being prepared. I think that's something I definitely can take to a fault and overthink things and try to be way prepared. If it's something where I know someone else, I trust someone else.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily feel the pressure of that.
Yeah.
I feel more like I will contribute to the preparation that someone else has done.
Yeah.
And maybe I need to prepare a little bit. In some of those situations, I could probably prepare better.
So I'll give you advice. Ask your father-in-law a few thoughts ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely talked about it. And the preparation we've done is like getting the right gear, which is really important. We ran down to the place where you get all that stuff.
Yeah.
And got stuff sent up there and he showed me the food.
You got good food fueling your body. I would say that's definitely, I again didn't commercial fish, and with him prepping food, you understanding food. You know, I was a Navy ship where you ate whatever they gave you,
right?
Generally. And so I ate way too much salt, but it was like that was part of the diet that they had. But certainly, you know, fuel for fitness, fuel for work, especially that kind of work.
Like, yeah, well,
you want to be able to do that.
The cool thing and what I'm looking for is doing this with Eric, and like how he's wired is similar to how I'm wired.
Yeah.
So he appreciates like being balanced.
Yeah.
Like we both want to work hard. We worked on a project together fixing up my car. That was quite a hassle. But like it was fun to do with him because we both wanted, we were like, can we go a little longer? I'm like, I can go, you can go.
Yeah.
Like, but also like if we need to be done, like I'm fine to be, I'm not like, we have to keep going and neither is he.
Yeah.
You know, so, but there's a goal in mind and it's to get this job done.
Yeah.
There's a goal in mind and it's to get as much fish as we can and take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, we're both like that.
But there's good, I think that's the thing that strikes me. And at the time I talked with Eric and we chatted more seemingly the last year or so, this engagement, it was a Saturday class and that he's a balanced guy.
Yeah.
He's not like, he can be rah-rah. Right. But he also can be really focal point.
You know, those are the people you want to be around. Or like competing for me.
Yeah.
Like if I can try, I mean, I'm all over the place, up and down.
Yeah.
And within 3 hours, I could cry, I could laugh, I could be excited, and I could be super angry. Yeah. You know, like all of that stuff happens within before workout and after workout.
Yeah.
Like you're nervous. Everything is happening, and it's just like I feel so chaotic sometimes. But when I'm executing well, I'm kind of right in the middle and I ride the waves and I don't get overcome.
Yeah.
And that's how he is and how I've experienced, you know, time with him. And those are the kind of people you want to be around. People who aren't going to like, oh, something's going poorly. We're angry. We're upset. It's all bad.
Right.
You know, oh, something's going poorly. Let's handle it. Let's figure out what we need to do, how we can adjust and adapt. And I mean, you're mentioning.
And you celebrate, but you don't go, again, you keep it within the confines of, let's celebrate, but let's not.
Oh, we had a great day. Nice. Okay. Good job. Let's do that again tomorrow.
Right.
Let's take 3 days off.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Good week. Yeah, we got better at some things. Now we earned, you know, a whole weekend of
Again, I would also encourage, and I cut you off on a thought. One thought I didn't want to share was, especially on a vessel, you need steady. The captain, but the crew. Not that you only have bad moments, but you can't have lots of moments, and because that's the danger part is where you lose your that focal point. Then you're working. Okay, we're celebrating. We rest. We're ready. We're fueled. We're
back to work.
Because if you don't have that, that's where, just in general, I don't care what you're operating, is dangerous. And again, that was, again, being a Navy guy, that was our focus, was when you're on, you got to be on.
Yeah.
When you're off, you got to be off, because you need that energy replenishment to be back on. So as you're going along in the beauty of Alaska, if it's work time, focus on that and then deal with the relaxation that will come. But yes, note to self, write it down. Talk to your father-in-law about any additional things. And I think you make a point that having the right mindset, right stuff. So, you know, have good weather gear, whatever you need for that. Yeah. That's great. So you guys will be gone 6 weeks?
Yep, 6 weeks.
Okay. And get back here then?
I think I'd get back on July 24th.
Okay. And then, so during that time, kind of bouncing back for a second, Elena, in the meantime, is going to be here training.
Yeah.
There'll be kind of planning. You probably won't have a lot of opportunities to, maybe you'll have opportunities to communicate, but the communication aspect will be more limited.
Oh, so yeah, I'm not even expecting how much.
So will that then turn to someone else, or Matt and Kaylee working? I'm not speaking for them, but.
So again, she's going to be in class.
Yeah.
You know, so the coach, whoever's coaching, will have opportunity with her to help her. And we all know her goals and that she's going to the
game. And then she's got her own work that she'll do on her own.
Yeah. Then I'll be programming out 6 weeks for her of, you know, intentional things.
Okay.
to work on, and we'll get a schedule for her for 6 weeks that she can really kind of fall into.
And so you get back. I'm going to look here real quick. I may have to break this up. So when is the actual teen games? Isn't it
August? It's the last week of August. So it's okay. Like the 25th to the 1st, or okay. I don't know exactly.
And I know we've talked to you. You know, I asked you this question, you know, before she went into semis. If she makes it, would you go to Michigan? And I chatted with a number of people. You make plans to go to Michigan. You need to be there.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's a financial issue, shout out, I love it. We'll work it out. Okay. But I mean, I'm committed to you too, individually, that we get you there.
Yeah, I know.
Because
that's,
I think that,
I think that
it's important for, you know, she could go, but this is something for you to celebrate also, not just her, but as kind of that. And it can maybe be healing in a sense for you to go away from the elite side. Not that you wouldn't want to go to the games to watch,
yeah,
but it'd be better to watch this younger crew that's coming up through,
yeah,
and have that interaction there. You could go to the Masters. We're just a bunch of old, they're really fit people, so don't let me say that. But I think going there from that up-and-coming crew and sharing that opportunity with their the family and that.
For sure.
So that would be then, you'll be back here for a short time before you would have to go do that.
Yeah.
So besides sleeping, any other thoughts of what you want to be able to do when you're up in Alaska if you're not fishing? There's not fishing happening. You got some books to read.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. I want to read.
Okay.
Get a nice book list going. And get some good reading in.
Do you have any thoughts of, I mean, what are the kind of things you, when you read, what do you have a genre? Do you like, you know, nonfiction, history?
I like everything. I used to hate reading. My older sister loved reading, and I would always make fun of her about it when I was little. But then I reached a point kind of around college where I was like, man, there's a lot of really wise people that have, like, just put down what they know in a book.
Yeah.
And I can just read it.
What's
like,
the last
why
book?
Why would I not take advantage of that?
What's the last book you, or what are you currently, if you're reading now, or what was the last one you read?
Right now I'm reading a book on farming.
Okay.
And before that, I was reading a book about Daniel Boone.
Really?
Before that, I was reading kind of like a sci-fi book. So I'm kind of all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I definitely know, I see the value in reading.
And will you is Eric shipping up hard books, or are you going to take them up on your phone or some sort of device?
I don't know. I have to think about that.
Okay, another note.
Yeah.
If you need a device and you don't want to use your phone, I think I have.
I was planning on just like books, but I like physical books.
And there you have it, everyone. That is part one of my interview with Mitch Stevenson. And I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to that hour full of great information, stories, understanding now why Mitch didn't do the CrossFit Open. And frankly, this Open, with the Open and the quarterfinals and semifinal workouts, they really fit to the T Mitch's workout and fitness style, fitness level, and so forth, where he could have really knocked it out of the park. But we don't get to choose those kind of things. They simply, sometimes life happens and we move forward, as you heard Mitch and I talk about. I definitely know you're going to want to share this with your friends, those who are young athletes, those who are seeking to compete. Even if it's not CrossFit, it could be golf, it could be tennis, it could be track and field, basketball, football, whatever. There's a lot of great insights Mitchell has, and just a lifestyles and life choices that I think young athletes could really learn a lot from. Part two will be coming out here shortly after this episode drops. And in that conversation, we talk more about some hard situations as far as competition, disappointments, and so forth. So I know you're going to want to check that out. Again, if I could just make a plug for you to share, like all the episodes. If you haven't listened to all the episodes, please go back and check those out. If you have, take the time to give them a like, share them on your social media, share them with your friends, not for my sake, but rather for getting these stories of these wonderful people out to the world. Without further ado, thanks so much again for listening. And this is Jonathan Craigle for Conversations with Craigle. Look forward to talking to you real soon on episode 18. Take care, everybody. If you have an opportunity, serve others. Certainly serve your families and friends. Find ways to do good in the world. That's so necessary and so needed. And most of all, take care of yourself. I look forward to talking to you soon. This is Jonathan Craigle. Take care, all.